the freshmen. They got guys that can score. And then the other team in the league that, that makes you nervous is
Bowling Green, or
no, it wouldn't be. It's
Huntsville.
No,
Lake State.
There's another
Anchorage
team that has good scoring, and it's not one of the top teams that you'd think about. So, it's Ferris State.
Oh yeah,
Ferris State. They have Capel Master, who's but Mayhew. It's those teams that have these. I mean, Mayhew's going to put up. He's got 120 something points. He's 30 points plus every year in his career. These guys can make offense happen, and if they get good goaltending, that's, you know, if you look at our league a week ago, I think three of the four games are shutouts. There's not a ton of scoring that goes on in our league. So the teams that can score goals and the teams that have goaltending are going to be, they're going to be scary in the playoffs.
What about the bottom of the standings right now? This is going to be as much fun,
crazy,
if not more fun, crazy, to watch than the top of the standings. I mean, you look at here, just to give people an idea who are not looking at the standings, Lake State, and, well, let's start with Ferris State, I guess. Ferris State has 32 points, Lake State 31, Northern 31, Alaska 30, Huntsville 30, and Anchorage has 26 right now. I mean, there is so much jostling that's going to happen here. And you look at teams like Northern, Lake State, they've only played 24 games right now. Alaska only 24 games. So there's a lot of movement there. And right now, Bowling Green is one of those teams that just is just twisting in the wind, I think, with just two games left, trying to hold on to that fourth spot.
Yeah, Ferris can catch them. That should be base, except for jockeying for position. That's the one chase in the home ice, because Ferris does have four games left. But that bottom, I mean, you know, anything can happen, because there's some tough games. If you look at the schedule for some of those teams, there's some tough games. There's a little bit of head-to-head, but for the most part, there's a lot of the bottom teams playing the top teams, right. So they don't have those big 6-point swings in a given night. So it's going to be, I mean, I don't know how it's going to end. A huge win the other night by Huntsville, or they would have kind of sealed their fate a little bit, I think. That was a huge win for them to win that game against Bemidji the other night, and kept them going, because they only have two games left, I believe.
All right, so let's get some questions answered here for Coach Joe Sean. If you have a question, you can still get it in. DJ@themix93.com. This is one that came in earlier in the week, Coach. What is the shooting percentage on grade A opportunities this year?
We don't have a set. That's a great question. We don't have a set number, but I live and die with a number. And what we want out of our goaltending is we want our goalies to be 1 out of 7, 7.5 on scoring chances. We want be, and it's different than, I mean, the people, when you look at shooting or save percentage, that's based on shots on goal.
Right.
It's different when you take it on scoring chances, because a lot of teams, there's teams that just throw the puck at the net and get a lot of shots, but they don't generate a lot of quality scoring chances. Friday night's game, as an example, we had 33 scoring chances in the game, 11 each period. That is a huge number to come out with only two goals for. So if you equate that to good goaltending or a good defense is 1 every 7.5. That's not a very good number for us, because that we would have scored, you know, 6 goals in that hockey game with 33 chances. Now, one of the issues we're having defensively is that in the first 8 games, I think we were 1-6-1 or something like that to start with. In the first 8 games, we were under 4 on those scoring chances. We were at about 3.87 or something like that, scoring chances to goals, which is half of what you want that number to be. Made the change, got some excellent goaltending, got a goalie to make all the saves he should, and stole a bunch of other ones. And Angus rode about an 8 or 10 game streak, shot up to number 1 in the country, came in at the right time, team got confidence. Now we've been back down since Bowling Green, back down around the 1 and 4 scoring chances. So we've kind of gone full circle here, and are going to have to address that. And that word, and I'm not saying anything, I'm not giving anybody any hints. That's the word that's going around the league, you know, amongst the coaches. You know, let's shoot on this kid and see what he's really got. So,
all right, and the second question, I guess, related to that grade A, what is you kind of answered that. What is a good shooting percentage on grade A? So,
if you're around 1 in 5,
1 in 5,
like you want, shooters will do about 1 in 4.5, 1 in 5. We were looking at that in NHL with, you know, with Crosby and those guys. 1 in 4.5 or 5 scoring chances. They normally score a big time percentage of about 1 in 11 on shots, and about half of those are going to be scoring chances for the superstars.
Next question for Coach: on a penalty shot, could Ferris have opted for a 2-minute advantage instead of accepting the penalty shot?
100% they could have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but they want the goal. I mean, it was the top scorer on the team. It was Mayhew.
Yep.
Mayhew had a breakaway, and Angus stopped it, and then now you're giving him a penalty shot on top of that, and Angus was able to stop. But what's the odds? The odds are that Mayhew, you know, 120 point guy, we take Patan shooting any day of the week on a penalty shot, and they pick Mayhew.
What is the hockey in general? Is it a 40% chance of scoring on a breakaway or a penalty shot?
Yeah, you know, so, I don't know.
It's always been in favor of the goalie.
Advantages. It'd have to go more to the goaltender. I have seen it denied before. We were at when I was coaching at Lake State. We were playing at Notre Dame, and Jeff Jackson. They were up, and it's because it would have gave them if we would have taken it, gave us a 5-on-3. It was a shorthanded opportunity, so they denied it, denied the shot, so that we didn't. We had the advantage on it.
It happens late in game, more towards late in games too often, where you have maybe a 2-goal lead, and you could take a penalty shot. It sometimes with less than 2 minutes left, you're better off taking that penalty or taking the power play, and that way you can kill more time off the clock.
Yeah, it depends on who's shooting.
Sure.
I'd put the puck in certain guys' hands and say, okay, let's end this thing.
I think George Gwazdecki took a power play instead of a penalty shot up here not long ago.
Yeah, I would really consider it whenever it would make it an even situation or give yourself a better number situation. Like if it's 5-on-3, I'd definitely do it so that it didn't stay at 5-on-3.
All right, here's your next question, Coach. With Bemidji already clinching the McNaughton Cup and our magic number now down to 4 points to solidify the second place spot of the WCHA, do you worry at all about Bemidji not playing up to their ability when they take on Mankato in the last weekend of the season?
No, I don't worry about it. They've earned the right to do that. They run their team the way they run their team, and you know, you can't. I don't. You know, they did it a couple of years ago. We lost the league by 1 point, and they played, I believe, their second string goaltender, third string, and sat guys out in their last game against Mankato. So they have the right to run their team the way, you know, we've left a lot of points on the table to put us in the position that we're in, and they have the right to do whatever they want to do. And you know, I may do the same thing. I may get, you know, you never know what'll happen on senior night based on, you know, we have a senior goaltender. You never know what we're going to do on senior night if the positions are locked up, and that could impact somebody else that's playing against Northern. So, you know, they have the right to do what they want to do.
Next question, Coach. How do you keep Winches and Carroll motivated when Redmond has been struggling in the second half of the season, especially on Friday night performances, and he continues to get rewarded with a Saturday night start?
Well, I kind of have the Tony Dungy feeling on that type of thing. I don't think that it's our job as a staff to motivate an athlete. It's the athlete's job to come motivated but I can understand the question. It's a good question with how our goaltending, like I just mentioned, has kind of come full circle a little bit. Numbers are different, and I can see that. Now, the difference being right now, and first of all, if you're blowing them off, that's one thing. We're still out every day preparing, and those guys are working their tails off. They are working. I would have no problem putting any one of our three goalies in the net, and I think that we'd get a great performance out of them, or get a performance out of them that wouldn't be that much different than anybody else being in the net. But what happened here is that early in the year, we did not get out of the gate with success, and we just talked about the numbers on just what you have to evaluate on. And then we had a goaltender go in that did create those numbers. So he has a body of work. And the decision has been made that he's going to be the guy that's going to kind of have that opportunity. Now, that could change tomorrow. Mel could come in tomorrow and say, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But and that would be the reason why a change wasn't made Saturday. I could see it happening. I thought it could happen where one of the other goalies was going to play. But I think in Mel's mind, and I agree with his thought process, with a week off, with 2 weeks, now you're giving the guy that you're probably going to go with 2 weeks off to stew about to fight his confidence, or you can give him a chance to get right back on it and gain his confidence, which we kind of did, and get ready then for the next weekend of league play, which is a big weekend in 2 weeks. So had we played this week, I'm not saying it would have happened, but I could have seen Mel make a change and do something different just to create a good week of competitive practice. And maybe we would have got a great performance out of the goalie and really made a good week of competitive practice.
This next question is eerily similar, and it makes me think. But anyway, how do you keep Winches and Carroll motivated to come to practice every day when Coach Pearson said last week that Redmond is the team's future and will be ridden the rest of the season? This seems to be true, even though he has 7 losses since the GLI championship game, which is they must be counting shootout losses, which I don't count. He has five losses. And the McNaughton Cup has gone to Bemidji, and we are ranked 30 in the pairwise ranking.
Yeah, it's legitimate again, and it's the those guys come. They're professional about how they do it. They're working extremely hard.